because it is the first commandment which Israel was commanded. So Rashi says in the name of his father that indeed since the Torah, the whole Torah is a book of commandments, it's weird why the Torah begins with creation of the world, Genesis. What is the reason that it began with the book of Genesis? You say Genesis in English?
Genesis.
Genesis. So he says, because one day the people, the nations of the world, will say to Israel, you are thieves, you are bandits, for you conquered the land of the seven nations, that means the nations of Canaan, after the exit of Egypt. And so we'll have an answer here. Israel will say to them, the whole earth belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created it, and he gave it to the one who is proper in his eyes. By his wish, he gave it to them, and by his wish, he took it from them and gave it to us. Okay? And Rashi, Gani, you follow?
Yes.
No, I think you are very, very absent-minded this morning.
Why?
No, you're not?
No.
Tell me the truth.
No, I follow everything.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not listening, looking at you. I don't understand.
Okay. I apologize.
Oi.
I apologize. Okay, so the thing is like this. I summarize Rashi. Rashi is asking the question. The Torah should begin by the first commandment because the whole Torah is a book of commandments. Yes, so why does it begin? By the creation of the world. And the reason is that one day the people of the world will say to Israel, you are thieves. Why? Because you stole the land of the nations of Canaan.
That's what they're saying today. The same exact thing.
Yeah.
So, thank you for the information. But don't you think that I will come to this?
I don't know, I guess.
Okay. So the answer will be, see, the Torah begins with the creation of the world, and God made the world and gives the land to whom is proper in his eyes. So by his free will, he decided to give the land to these nations and then to take it back and to give it to us. This will be the answer. Pourquoi la Torah commence par le premier, par la création du monde, au lieu de commencer par le premier commandement, nous dit Rashi. Parce que c'est un livre de commandements, on se serait attendu à ce qu'elle commence par le premier commandement. Parce que jour, les nations du monde vont nous contester la terre d'Israël, nous dire vous êtes des voleurs, vous avez pris la terre des peuples de Canaan en sortant d'Égypte. Et on leur répondra que Dieu c'est le créateur du monde, il donne la terre à qui il veut. So now, there are several questions on this Rashi. First question is, from where do they know the nations of the world that we took this land? From the Torah. So if they know it from the Torah, how can they accuse us to be thieves? The Torah itself says that we are obliged to do it. And when our ancestors resisted to the order of God and they didn't want to conquer the land, they were punished, extremely punished, that they all died in the desert. And it's only the descendants, the next generation, which could take hold of this land. So how can you accuse our ancestors that they stole the land? They didn't want to take it, and God obliged them. And if you tell me, okay, but they don't know this information through the Torah. They know it through history. Okay, if they know it through history, why do we need to answer to them? Why do we need as a response to say that God created the world? Suppose the king of Morocco. He didn't create the land of Morocco, but nevertheless he is the belonger, he is the owner of the land. That means he can expel whomever he wants, because it's a real kingdom. Yes? It's not like in England. Okay? He's a real king. He's not only reigning, he is governing. Yes? He rules. But he doesn't create Morocco, the land. So same thing here. God is Adon Olam, the king of the world, the king of the universe. And at the same time, he's a creator of the universe. Why do we need to use the concept of creation? Just say that he's the king of the world. Okay? Question.
Qu'est-ce qu'on a besoin de passer par le fait que Dieu il a créé le monde? On n'a qu'à dire que Dieu c'est le roi du monde, le roi du Maroc par exemple. Il va exproprier qui il veut, mais il n'a pas créé le Maroc. Simplement c'est le roi. Alors qu'est-ce qu'on a besoin de leur dire que Dieu créateur du monde a fait, donne à qui il veut?
To answer this question, we have to understand the concept of creation in the Torah. Yes? David?
Oui.
And for this, we have a midrash, very famous midrash, that someone came to speak to Rabbi Akiva and told him who created the world. And he wanted just to provoke Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva told him, God made this world. So this man told him, he was, how do you say in English, heathen, yeah? Yeah? He was a heathen and he wanted to provoke Rabbi Akiva. So, and he said to Rabbi Akiva, you say that God made the world. Give me a proof. Rabbi Akiva told him, come tomorrow. The next day he came and Rabbi Akiva took his garment and he told him, who made this garment? So the guy answered, a weaver. So Rabbi Akiva, give me a proof. So the guy said, don't you know that the weaver is doing garments? He's making the garments? So Rabbi Akiva said, listen, in the same way, the garment is a proof that there is a weaver. The house is a proof there is a mason. And the door is a proof there is a joiner, a carpenter. Yeah? In the same way, the world is a proof there is a God. Let's try to understand his answer. What's the common point between a house, a door, and a garment? The common point is the fact they are structures. They are not just disorders. You see there is an order. And it's not only there is an order, there is a function. Yeah? There is a function. The door is made to isolate the people, not to be seen, not to be robbed. And the house is made to be a shelter against the cold, against all kind of things. And the garment, the same thing. So he means that things which have a very sophisticated order and a very sophisticated function, it cannot be just by chance. So that's the case of the world. One day, physicist, yeah? Someone who is in physics.
Physicist,
yeah. A physicist gave me an example. He told me, you see this book, for instance, you have in the book chapters, and the chapters you have paragraphs, and the paragraphs you have sentences. In the sentences you have words, in the words you have letters. Suppose that by shaking the book you could send all the letters towards the ceiling.
What?
Assume that by shaking the book you could send all the letters towards the ceiling. How many chances, how many probabilities do you have that the letters, when they fall down, they could remake the book, or even a chapter of the book, or even a paragraph of the book, or even a sentence of the book. Maybe one word, if you have a lot of luck.
Extremely minuscule. Extremely minuscule.
So, it told me nothing. And what is the book? The book is my body. What are the chapters? My organs. And so on, till the letters. The letters are the cells. Yeah? Les cellules. Okay?
The cells, not the souls, the cells.
The cells, I said the cells.
Oh,
yeah, no, you are in dreams. The cells, yeah? Did you understand till now? So, he meant that if all the millions of cells of the body had to be gathered, yes, together to make such a body, it couldn't be possible just by chance. Someone has to think of it in advance. You understand? Yes? There is a book in France. A professor in the Sorbonne made a book on this. And the second chapter says, what is the value of the hypothesis which is called the chance? What is it worth? What is it worth? The hypothesis that it is the world was made by chance. And he said, when you take a chromosome, yeah? And you cannot see it with your eyes. You need a very powerful microscope to see a chromosome. Yeah? And nevertheless, it contains the whole program of heredity. And if you have to put this program on pages A4 like this, you would need between 1 million and 2 million pages to put it on pages like this on a computer. So he said, how can you explain that something that you cannot see with your eyes, yes, contains a program which is so important that you would need between 1 and 2 million pages in order to be written? He says, if you tell me that this is by chance, it's as if you tell me that monkeys were put in front of a computer and they were just typing like this, like monkeys, yes, not in a rational way, like this, yeah, on the keyboard, and the result was books who deserve to be in the National Library. He said it would be exactly the same thing. Now, when I speak of this, did you understand until now? Que il y a aucune chance que le monde se fait par hasard. C'est parce que dans ce livre, par exemple, il y a des chapitres, dans les chapitres, il y a des paragraphes, dans les paragraphes, il y a des mots, dans les mots, il y a des lettres. Si on pouvait secouer le livre, envoyer toutes les lettres au plafond, combien aurait de probabilité pour que les lettres en retombant reforment un livre? Il n'y a aucune probabilité. Alors le livre, c'est quoi? C'est notre corps. Et les organes, c'est les tissus. Et les cellules du corps, c'est les lettres. Donc il n'y a aucune chance que ce soit fait complètement par hasard. C'est là la preuve de l'existence de Dieu, d'après Rabbi Akiva. Ok?
Ok.
So now, let's go further. When I speak of it, there is always someone who wants to give me the contradiction through the theory of Darwin. So, I want to summarize the theory of Darwin and what we can answer to the theory. I did it yesterday already, but I want to go a bit further. The theory of Darwin speaks of the survival of the fittest. That means at the beginning there was not such a thing as a cell, yeah? Yes, and it was just the beginning. And this beginning of a cell, which was adapted to environment, could survive because it was adapted. And then it got more and more adapted, and the new adaptations were transmitted to the next generations through heredity. This is the theory of Darwin. And it took millions and millions and millions of years to arrive to such an adaptation. I spoke of this with Professor Levy, who was giving a lecture here. He was professor at the Hebrew University, and he wrote against the theory. And he told me there are two answers that he could give. First answer is that when they speak, for instance, of the wing of the bird, how do they explain it? He told me they say that at the beginning the bird has just an arm. And since it was not adapted to its needs, little by little it took millions of years, it was woven, so to say, here, little by little, something which became a wing. But it told me, if it was not adapted, so to say, with just an arm, how could you explain that the species of the bird could survive during millions of years without being adapted? You tell me that with the arm it was not adapted, and this pushed the necessity to make a wing. And it took millions of years, but in the meantime, how could they survive? Second thing he told me, we didn't find any fossil, any remnant of the medium stages between the first bird and then the wing. We didn't
find
fossils. Yeah, fossils. It's not fossil. It's fossils.
Fossil. No.
Yeah, we didn't find any fossil of it. We didn't find any remnant. And there is a third answer, which was given by the French philosopher Bergson. Bergson says that when you take an eye, in order for the eye to see, you need several things in the same time. You need the pupil, yes, and the pupil will say how much light you accept in your eye. If you have too much light, it's all drowned. Yes, it's all vague. All vague. You don't see anything.
Overexposed.
Overexposed, yeah. Like, exactly like a camera. The eye is like a camera. If it's too much closed, yes, So it will be everything dark. Now you have the retina, and the retina is like a stem, very, very thin, 120 million cells. And the image is made on the retina, but reverse. And how it become normal? Because there is a nerve, the optical nerve, from the retina up to the brain, and the brain is a wonderful computer, and it puts the image not upside down, but in a normal shape. So Bergson said like this: in order for an eye to see, you need all these components at the same moment. So if you speak of evolution, how can you say that the retina on one side, the pupil on the other side, the optical nerve and the brain, all together, they had to progress in the same goal, towards the same destination, which is seeing. How can they know each other? How can they know every one of these components? How could he know of the other components? And they all have like a team of football. They all have to go to the goal, to the same destination. So you need a conductor, yeah? And who can be the conductor besides a super being, which is God? This is the way he answered to the theory of evolution. And indeed, when you take the Haftarah of Vayetchanan, the Haftarah is ending by a question of the prophet Yeshayahu. You see, he says, look at the sky, and look at the stars, look at everything. Se'u marom enechem, u'u mi bara eleh. Who created all these?
Yes. Hashem bara.
Thank you for the answer, because help me, I wouldn't have found the answer without you. So.
Imagine the kiddush, kiddush.
It was a rhetorical question.
Yes, one second. Mi bara. Me. Who?
Created the world.
Doron. The thing is, he doesn't say it's God. He says, me. But me is just the contrary of chance. Why? Listen well. I have here sheets. Oh. And the window is open, and I come in the room and I see my sheets on the floor. I won't say who threw my sheets, because I can figure that the wind did it, because there is a draft, yeah? But if I see that my sheets suddenly, they are built as planes, you know, you can make a plane with this, like the children do, I will say, who did it? It cannot be by chance. So I will say, who did it? So the fact that the prophet doesn't say God, but he say, who? Yes, who means it's not by chance. So now, who can it be? To make such a world, if it's not by chance, you need a very powerful intelligence, a very big power of creation, technical power. So someone who is omnipotent, he can do everything, he can think everything, that's the definition of God. As soon as you eliminate the factor chance from the picture, you come to the idea of God. And that's the reason why the answer is in Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elohim. You see, these are the same letters the Zohar say. Why? Because bara and the me, you have it here, reverse, and Eli, you have it here. With the same letters of the question, yes, you have the answer. Why? To show you that indeed the answer is contained, is held in the question itself. Because if you came to a point to say it cannot be by chance, and you say me, who? So who can it be? It cannot be a man, it cannot be a monkey. It can be only a superpower, So that's the name of God. And that's the reason why in the question itself you have the letters of the answer. To show you that if you came to such a question, you have the answer. Gani, did you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so now there is also someone in the States. He wrote a book. I was offered this book, The Road Less Traveled.
Yeah,
I know. Scott Peck, Scott The Road Peck. Less Traveled.
Less Traveled is the book.
Less Traveled.
Road Less Traveled. The first three words is life is difficult.
Yeah. What does he mean? He means that in life, sometimes the road, which is expected to be the less traveled, at the end, it happens to be the most traveled. And he gives an example: health. He says, when you have to take all the conditions which are necessary at the same moment to be healthy, normally nobody should be healthy. Everybody should be disabled, ill. And nevertheless, most of the people, at least when they are young, they are all healthy. A vast majority of the people are healthy. How can it be? It's not normal. And from this it comes to the idea of God.
You could say it's science. You could say it's immune injections when they're young, because they used to die.
No, but I speak, they have eyes, they have hands. You see my hands, for instance, the thumb is just not in the same position as the other fingers, so that I could take the things. Yes? And so on. So the thing is, what it say indeed is, Chazal say the same thing. Chazal say that Briyut means health, is something so sophisticated that it couldn't be without the creation, without the creator. And that's the reason why Briyut say is the same root as Bria. Bria means creation. There couldn't be something like Briyut without Bria. And I just want to finish. In Hebrew, all the adjectives which show potential, listen well, it's a grammar lecture. All the adjectives which show potential, even in modern Hebrew, it's A, E. For instance, anidolek, I burn. Something which could burn, dalik. Ani ochel, I eat. Something which can be eaten, something which is edible. Edible is achil. I read. Yeah, readable, legible is kari, because ani kore, I read, kari, legible. Okay, so now, ani koves, for instance, I wash, kavis, washable. Yeah, washable. So now, ani bore, I create. How to say something which can be created? Bari. Bari means which could be, which can be created. But it means at the same time healthy. What's the connection between the both ideas? Which can be created and healthy. And the connection is like this. When God wanted to make the world, in order for the world to be created, what made, so to say, God able to create the world? To create the world, God wanted to have his signature, that the man could find God in the world. It's as if, for instance, I'm a big artist and I'm making a big painting. I will leave my signature in the corner of the painting so that people could find me. What is the signature of God in this world? It's health. Because health, it's something so complicated that it cannot be done by itself. So, how the world could be created by God? Because God left his signature, and the signature is health. And that's the reason why in Hebrew is the same word, which means, which can be created and also healthy. the same word means healthy or means which can be created. Okay, Gali, you want to speak?
I want to respond to Durant's thing. First off, humans did survive long before these immuno procedures, and in fact, many times they were a lot healthier than we are. But also, the whole process of immunity, which is natural, I mean, where did that come from, actually? I mean, think about it. The cell itself uses DNA as a blueprint.
The white cells. Yeah.
Uses like millions of these. And where did the white cells come from? In order for this process to even exist of immunity, I mean, the amount of complexity, the amount of some random things that had to have happened.
Okay. So now let's take. Rashi speaks of the creation. He speaks of the land of Israel. What is the land of Israel according to our tradition?
Ok, je vais résumer juste pour toi. On a montré que toutes les structures très compliquées du monde ne peuvent pas être auto-générées.
Oui.
Et c'est la raison pour laquelle en hébreu, c'est le même mot, la même racine, qui désigne la santé et la création. Parce qu'un phénomène aussi compliqué que la santé ne peut pas être auto-créé. Forcément, il y a un créateur derrière tout ça. Alors, ça c'est l'idée de création. Maintenant, on va parler, puisqu'il parle de Rashi, de l'idée de la terre d'Israël. La terre d'Israël, c'est une terre qui nous permet de faire apparaître des miracles. Parce que la sixième année, on a à manger pour 3 ans.
Il
y a la Shemitah, etc. Donc, on va faire le lien après entre les deux. And the land of Israel, now. The land of Israel is a land of miracles. But it depends on our behavior.
The land of?
Israel. Israel.
Is a land of?
Miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah.
But depends on our behavior. It's written in the parasha, Im bechukotai telechu, if you toil in the Torah, bechukotai telechu, that's the translation of Rashi. Yes, you don't just go in the Torah like this, yeah, you know, all kinds of pleasures before. Yes, you really make efforts in the Torah. So, venatati gishmechem beitam, I will give the rains in proper time. That means by night. It won't disturb the people in the day. And some explanations say only by the night of Shabbos when everybody is at home. And cherev lo ta'avor be'artzechem. No weapon, not only an army, no weapon could cross over the sky of Israel. Third thing, the Shemitah. Every seventh year, you won't work, you won't till, you won't till the soil. Yeah. So the chitom rumanochal. And if you say, how can we eat? Don't worry. The sixth year, I will give you a crop which will provide for the sixth, the seventh, and also the eighth. Because if you don't sow in the seventh, you won't have a crop in the eighth. So every 6 years of the cycle, I will give you a crop which will provide for 3 years. And this will be an obvious miracle. And all the peoples, all the nations of the world will see it. So now I come back to Rashi. What does Rashi mean? And we are going to answer the question of Rashi. On Rashi. Rashi doesn't mean that when the people are going to tell us that we are stealing the land, we are going to take the book as missionaries and to knock at the doors and to say, oh, see, there is a book which says that God created the world, so you have to accept it and he gave us the land. It would be ridiculous. Rashi means like this. When the nations of the world are going to tell you that you stole the land, don't try to discuss with them because they are not honest. They know that the land of Canaan, God obliged you to take it. And if they don't know it, because they know this, that you took the land, your ancestors took the land only by history books and not by the Bible. So you have to speak of the creator of the world. Not to speak with words, but with examples. That means if you live in the land of Israel as you should live, there will be a divine providence on everything. And the whole world will see it, and this will awaken by them, from the bottom of their souls, the idea that the world cannot be by chance. Because everybody in the world, an Eskimo, a redskin in America, and an aborigine in Australia, everybody in the world see, yes, that the sun is rising every morning.
that he can see, that he can hear, that he can digest. So every man in the world can be awakened to the idea there is a creator in the world. But how? By the land of Israel that God gave us. Because by the land of Israel, when you see the miracles on the land of Israel, people... I spoke of it. I gave details. Yeah. All the details I gave. And by the land of Israel, you can show miracles. Yes, the miracle of the Shemitah and this, all the miracles that I have mentioned right now. Yeah, I don't know where you have been. So the thing is, if you live in the land of Israel, yeah.
Camera. You're standing up.
No, it's okay. If you live in the land of Israel, it has been recorded this year in another place. If you live in the land of Israel, as you should live, you can rely on the miracles of the land, and the people of the world will see them. Do you understand?
Amen.
Okay, so in that case, you are going to awaken by them. You are going to awaken by them the idea there is a creator in the world. Why? Because...
The moment of the awakening is that I think we are part of it.